Blog Talk Radio.
Passage to Empowerment. Tonight we're going to be talking about how social media empowers your life, or does it empower your life? So on with the show we go. My name is Nina, the N in L&B, and we have lovely Lydia, the L.
Hello.
And the booster, Brenda.
Hi. I'm the innocent one.
Yes, she is. And we make up the L&B. Now, none of you believe that, but that's okay. We'll let her think that for tonight.
Feel the love, folks, because I'm not getting it.
Oh, yeah, you are. You're very loved. Otherwise,
yes,
we wouldn't tease you. So, social media. How does it empower you? Or does it empower you? I guess it all depends on what kind of mood you're in and what you're actually putting out there. There are a lot of different social media sites to go on. Facebook, Pinterest,
Instagram,
Twitter,
Reddit, Tumblr.
LinkedIn. Did you say LinkedIn?
No, LinkedIn. StumbleUpon, Google+, plus anything else you can get into. Are they really empowering you, or are they holding you back? Let's talk about it.
Yeah, well, it can call us. You can call us if you have a question or comment. The number is 646-727-2914. And if you press 1, we'll know that you want to speak to us. So please do, once you get on, they'll tell you to press 1 if you want to talk to the host.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, Science Daily, you can look them up online, they say that 1.11 billion users per month on average use Facebook.
Wow.
And it is globally. So they're saying it's this huge phenomenon. And knowing that, yeah.
Yeah, it is. And I think for some things, Facebook is absolutely wonderful. Basically, to keep in touch with all my family, because my family is spread out all over the place. Everybody's so busy, but it's a great way for me to keep in touch with my family and the friends that I have that live far away. I know there's a lot of people that use Facebook for other things than just that. A lot of complaining, a lot of picture taking of food and stuff like that. But, what are your thoughts on this, Lydia and Brenda?
Seemed like you had one you were starting to say, Brenda.
Well, I was just sort of just letting people know just how incredibly huge this is. It's not when you're on Facebook, potentially, you are connecting with people beyond the scope of your mindset. I mean, most of us don't even consider it's big for us. Most of us, if we were to even think about being in a room with, 300 or 400 or 500 people, let alone going to a concert where maybe there's 500,000 people, or even a million. But imagine that, that you could potentially come in contact with 1.11 billion people.
Yeah. And, you know,
that also
brings up that it's good for the economy. Social networking is very good for the economy, which can be empowering. They said one of the sites that I've seen, it says that it could add $900 billion to $1.3 trillion to the economy.
Yeah, because people, there's a lot of advertisement on Facebook. There's a lot of it. And as a matter of fact, the one article says that there's social pressure for some people to recommend products. I know that it used to be that when I was on there, well, I don't know what I've done, but it used to be that all these products used to come through, and it's like, would you use this? Would you not? Why not? Do you like this? And I think that I did something that turned all that off. I don't even see that stuff anymore. Some people might see it. I have no idea. But I tend to be a little obtuse anyway. I barely pay attention to anything that isn't quite in my scope for the moment. So there's a lot I don't even see. Go ahead.
Do you have the option now to delete any further contact with that particular advertiser? So that makes it a little bit easier to get through and see what you really want to see on there. I guess that's, you know, totally up to you. Plus, you get to pick and choose who your friends are, you know, that kind of stuff. But the advertising, you can stop it from happening.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But then there's the other side of the coin is the friends, quote-unquote, that you have. One article is saying that Facebook friends mean more stress. Large number of friends seem really impressive. But then you have that other side of it, and that's interacting with people. And imagine your best pals that you've interacted with since either high school or junior high, and you've come to know them. And even the ones you grew up in high school with, I'm sure there were surprises as you became adults where it's like, I didn't know you were into that. Or I have friends where I guess I was just always busy working or something during high school, during these times when I wasn't with her. And at one point we were having a conversation and she said, well, you remember when I used to get drunk all the time? And it's like, what? It's like, I've never seen you drunk. She said, yeah, because such and such used to pull over and he'd hold me while I was getting sick on the side of the road. And I remember sort of feeling sick to my stomach, like, you took yourself to that point? Because I never, in a million years, ever thought that was even within the scope of her personality. So that was somebody I'd known since 10th grade. And I haven't really interacted with her in the last 5 years, but so we had a friendship for more than 30 years, and there were still surprises. So imagine somebody you've never met. I mean somebody that you've only known for maybe a year, maybe less, how they do things and how they think, is that all going to come out in Facebook? And there are a whole lot of personality things going on out there, people who have, you know, they could have schizophrenic issues, bipolar issues. They could have a real dysfunctional family that how they talk and treat to other people is way different than the way that your family is. And then it does get stressful.
Well, I don't know about you ladies, but I really don't like to put too much information, like personal information, on Facebook. Happy birthday to so-and-so, happy anniversary, that kind of stuff is about as far as I go. I don't think that's, for me anyways, it's not the place to publicize what's going on in my life. It's a little bit too public. If I need to tell anybody what's going on in my life, I either use private message or I will phone them. putting too much on social media could actually, I think, potentially do some harm to you, especially if maybe you're looking for a new job and your new employer happens to pop in there and you have put down all these issues and, you know, swearing and all this other stuff. That could potentially come back and bite you in the butt.
Yeah, except that you can just relegate it to friends. You can do your settings so only friends can see it. So, you know, that's something that you should stay on top of. Every now and then they will change their rules or their settings, and you need to go in there every now and then and check to see if who's seeing your stuff. Everything is just set for friends. I don't know what happened recently, but recently I was posting, and I'm like, God, no one's liking stuff or saying anything. What's going on? I mean, I don't post things every day, or I post news things, not negative, of course, but just things. Anyway, and then I went into my settings, and it was only viewed by me. So no one was seeing stuff. So I
you were in a world of one.
I was in my own world, as usual. Yeah. But you know what? It's what's interesting is social networking sites spread information faster than any other media. There's good and there's bad about that. But it says over 50% of people learn about breaking news on social media. 65% of traditional media reporters and editors use sites like Facebook and LinkedIn for story research, and 52% use Twitter. Now, when the Aurora shooting happened in the theater, they actually, Twitter and YouTube users reported on that, right away, before the news crews could arrive on the scene. And the Red Cross actually urged witnesses to tell family members they were safe via the media outlets.
Well, I know when the shootings happened down east in of the three police officers, I found out about it on Facebook before it was even on the news.
Yeah.
Wow.
And people are
interesting. Lydia would talk about that, you know, nobody had really liked her thing. There's an article written by Christopher Berglund, and he does something on psychology called The Athlete's Way. And he was saying that he was a bit embarrassed to admit that he gets a boost of healthy self-esteem and ego-driven, what he calls narcissism, which is probably rampant on Facebook, based on how many likes that he got on Facebook. And researchers have confirmed that the desire to be liked, quote-unquote, on Facebook is a universal phenomenon, too. We all want to feel worthy of love and belonging. And in some ways, the likes we get on Facebook satisfies this. Of course, then there's the other side of the coin. Like Lydia said, she goes, like, how come nobody's liking me all of a sudden? And she just had something turned off, which might be going on. See, Lydia took a healthier... she took a healthier stance. She went to seek, like, what's going on, and she checked her settings. There are people otherwise who go extremely depressive, like no one's paying attention to me.
Yeah, you know, I don't really care, and I don't count my likes and stuff. It blows my mind, though, when you have a birthday. It's just nice because people wish you. I enjoy a lot of people from my grade school and my high school and my life, you know, up until now, will wish me well, and I've connected with old friends on Facebook, and I like it. And for the most part, I still like them. I did have to unfriend a couple people, but. I mean, literally, I bet I've gotten, I don't know, 60 to 100 people that I've reconnected with. And, you know, it's not every day. Most of the people are busy. But there is one woman that I've been wanting to reconnect with, and she's not on very much. And she texted me and said, messaged me and said, hey, you know, you're going to be in this area. She lives out in Northern California. And I wished I had known that before I you know, before when I was out there. But we're going to get together. But I really value her. She's very, very, very cool person. I'm really excited about being connected with her. And connected with old babysitters. That's so cool, you know, babysitters not of me, but babysitters of my son, and now they're having their children, and it's just, I enjoy Facebook, not for the deep, meaningful stuff, but definitely for the social networking aspect. That's how most of the people listen to my show, is through Facebook.
Exactly, yep.
Well, and like I said, that's the healthier side of things. The reason I bring up the sort of not as healthier side, because these are things for some people to think about, you know, and if you see yourself somewhere in some of these things that I'm discussing, this is Brenda talking about these things, then it's probably something that you're going to want to look into and really, you know, maybe check yourself, because it's not potentially healthy for your life. For instance, there was a study done by Christopher Carpenter from Western Illinois University, and he was talking about how narcissism in self-promotional antisocial behavior has risen with some of this. Now, that might have something more to do, you know, when we do studies in psychology, we take a population and we kind of look at it. But there may be other issues, and then we have to keep doing more research to find out what's really causing it. But one of the things he says, now I'm going to give the definition that this guy gave for narcissism, okay? He defines it as a pervasive pattern of grandiosity, a need for admiration, and an exaggerated sense of self-importance. And he said that for the average narcissist, Facebook offers a gateway for hundreds of shallow relationships and emotionally detached communication. More importantly, he found that social networking in general allows the user a great deal of control over how he or she is presented and perceived by peers and others. Yeah, who knows, you know, what you're putting through is what, you know, maybe your group of friends, if you got 5,000 friends and it seems like they're drawn to you because, I don't know, whatever reason, maybe because you have a big nose, and then you just start taking pictures that makes your little nose look bigger and bigger, so that you can pull in more big nose, you know, loving people. And I'm exaggerating this way, folks, because I don't care about what anybody looks like or anything. But just take a good look at some of this. If you feel you can't get through the next hour without checking into Facebook, might be on a sort of unhealthy path. The other ladies haven't said anything, so I'm just going to, there's some telltale signs that I'm going to throw some out real quick. Social media is affecting your moods versus just your regular life. If real-life interactions are difficult and being alone is uncomfortable, so, like, you have to be on Facebook or Twitter or something. You find yourself envious about what others are promoting or the lives that you see everyone else in your friend list is doing. You relish in others' misfortune. So every time you hear something about this bad stuff that some idiot, when I say idiot, somebody who's done something really horrible, nobody's really an idiot. I'll just put that out there. Then that could be a real serious problem. Or you measure your success by others. If everyone else on your friends list is telling you after you've done something that you know in your heart to be really derogatory or mean, if they're telling you, if they're trying to mitigate and say, oh, yeah, that person's a jerk anyway. If they're supporting behaviors that you yourself don't really like, but because they're your friend and they feel like to say that, you got to really start thinking about how that's going to affect you.
Yes, I think,
yeah, for
I
sure.
think so. And I think there are some negative things, but thank God I didn't fit any of those things. In fact, yesterday I purposely left my phone home while we were down in Denver for, I don't know, 6 hours or so. Yeah, and I didn't go crazy. But I think, you know, well, everything can be used for good or bad. And I think I think baby boomers, I don't know if you could have that statistics at your fingertips, but I think baby boomers are utilizing social media quite a bit. And I don't think it's a negative for them, although, it, like I said, it could be. But one thing that I read, which was exciting, is that social media helps empower business women. Being able to connect on social networking sites gives business women a support group not readily found offline, where female CEOs of Fortune 500 companies are outnumbered by male CEOs 15 to 485. There you go. Many social media sites are dominated by women. 72% of Pinterest users are women. 58% of Facebook users are women. 62% of MySpace users. Do people use MySpace? I've never was at MySpace. But 60% of Yelp users. 53% of Instagram users. Business women use Twitter chats to support each other, give and receive peer knowledge, and have guest speakers share expert knowledge. One.org helps African women entrepreneurs connect with social media to grow their businesses. So that is super empowering and you know, for women. But, you know, I agree. It, so many things can be used negatively. Another thing that I read, which was awesome, is that law enforcement uses social networking sites to catch and prosecute criminals. You know, it just amazes me that criminals, well, you know, maybe they just don't think too well as it beginning with, but they will put stuff online. Like, nobody can see that. And, yeah, so law enforcement actually uses social media.
Oh, yeah. Well, I know there was a big thing going on here in Edmonton the last couple of days where a little puppy was stolen right off of his mm-hmm. yard. And they caught the people on the security camera. So they posted it on Facebook. And, of course, I shared it because it was here in town. And
right.
they got their doggy back.
Oh, I'm so
they
glad.
They left the little thing, and he was a teeny tiny little guy, very cute. But they left him somewhere where he could be found, and he was brought back to his owners. So there you go, folks. Social media can be used for the good, and, yeah, the police are now looking for those people.
Yeah, they had good pictures of him. I saw that.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. There are great things that are also involved in, and that's what this show is about, is it empowering your life? You know, how can it empower your life? How could it possibly hurt your life? And you this is about you considering both sides of the coin, and if you find that you're a little imbalanced in one direction, maybe you can rein it in. You know, and it's all about what you choose for your life. It's not about what we're telling you to do, and it's not about what somebody else is telling you to do. It's about deciding what works for you. So I know that, for instance, we were involved with the Art for Oso project. There was a photographer. I didn't know him. His name was Justin Kramer, and his wife, who she was I think pregnant at the time when there was the big Oso they called it mudslide and all kinds of things, but literally a whole town and area was obliterated by climate issues and weather, and a lot of people's lives were lost. I think they finally found everybody, I'm not sure. But his wife said, couldn't you, the photographers, you and your photography pals, get something going where you can sort of auction off some of your work? And they did. They did that. They did three different times. But they raised quite a bit of money. This is just through social media. They did it. It started on a grassroots kind of thing on Facebook. It got some media attention, and they sent money off to the hospitals and the towns that were in that area to help them with recovery movement. And it doesn't take much when you have access to this sort of worldwide connection. There's a lot of stuff there, and there are good things. If you work hard and if you're one of those hardworking people where you never have a break, sometimes taking a moment to just click on the social media and see a little video of some adorable French bulldog having to go to sleep. Still in love with him. I just you see him, you know, with his mom saying, "Now go to sleep now, you," and he just kind of, and then he goes off to sleep. And your heart melts and you think good things. Hey, that's a good thing. I believe that's a good thing. Maybe not right. If your whole day, 24 hours, is full of that, but,
right.
You know,
exactly.
The breaks are good.
Exactly. It can be really release tension and connect you to people. You know, you might be so busy during the day that, you know, you can't keep up with, you know, you don't really want to sit on the phone. So you can look on social media and you can hear from friends or hear about things. In fact, social media really empowers individuals to make social changes and do social good, as you mentioned. There's a ton of stuff that you can find if you want to do good and on a community level or a worldwide level. And there's, you know, there's just a lot of instances of things that can change because you've exposed it. For instance, there was a woman who, she was a 9-year-old Scottish student, and she exposed the state, she exposed her school's lunch program that was really failing, and it prompted international attention that resulted in changes to her school and the formation of a social group called Friends of Never Seconds charity to help feed children globally. You know, there's a woman that uses social media to find owners of photographs and mementos that were strewn from houses by Hurricane Sandy. You know, like you mentioned, you know, the Oso, Friends of Oso, they had two or maybe three auctions of amazing photography. So it was kind of it was definitely a win-win because the photographers donated their photography, amazing photographs, absolutely amazing, and they were bid on to raise money. But a lot of people who lost out on those bids, they contacted the artist. So it was a win-win. You know, the artist did, you know, it's my whole premise, you know, you do good and it comes back to you. And they did good, not because it comes back to you, but many of them then sold other photographs to people that were interested in their work, and they would have never gotten that exposure.
Yeah, our friend Melody, she had some incredible photographs in there. She submitted it. I had told her about it because I was talking about my photographs, so she decided to join it with the second round, and people saw her work and absolutely loved it and were really happy when they got her print. A print of one of her incredible photographs, or a couple of them, actually. I think she has three. So,
oh,
yeah.
Yeah, she has amazing work. So, you know, and it also, you know, some people are socially isolated for one reason or another. I have a friend that I knew from grade school, and she was very ill and unable to kind of go outside. And a lot of her old friends, and I hadn't seen her in, you know, many, many years. And we cheered her on to get well. And I think it was great for her because she would have been extremely isolated if she didn't have social media.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, some people, there, for instance, maybe you want to hobnob or, you know, like touch elbows, so to speak, with some of your favorite characters on television or things like that. For instance, one of the shows that I watch, it's a Cinemax show, actually, I think it is. It's Banshee, and there's just now, this isn't a big thing to me, but some people I've talked to thought that was, like, really huge. And I just happened to, I watched the show, and it was so incredible, and I tweeted. And I don't do that often because most of the time I got 8 million other things to do. But I tweeted about it because I thought this was an incredible episode. And one of the actors in the film favorited my tweet. And so then there were some other people that then started following me, but she's a pretty well-known actress, and her brother is in a band that I absolutely love, 30 Seconds to Mars, but I didn't turn around and say, you know, let's be friends, here's my number, where can I meet you after hours? I didn't do anything weird, but the point is, you never know. I mean, there's a lot of stars that are out there that are sort of connecting with the thought processes of different fans that are out there for either their show or who they are. So there's a lot. You know what? It makes our world even smaller than airlines have. So
yeah.
And then there is the knowledge end of.
Go ahead, Nina.
I was going to say, there's a knowledge end of Facebook and Twitter and everything else, too. Like, I have learned a lot by just the stories and stuff that have popped up on Facebook. I've got a heck of a lot of really great recipes.
That was the other thing I was going to bring up.
And, you know, I'm a pretty good cook, I would say, and it's really increased my recipe repertoire by 100 million, believe me. And I've also learned to build some things. And my niece is going to be bringing me some pallets, and some of that pallet furniture you saw me sharing, it is going to be made for my deck. Like, I'm going to make a little bar out of pallets now.
Cool.
I've never ever would have done that if it wasn't for Facebook. I would not have even thought to do anything like that. But because of Facebook, I am now going to be doing that. So, you know, there's a lot of good information out there on just about anything you could think of. It's great. You know, absolutely wonderful.
Yeah. I have, you know, I'm an artist, and I have a lot of artist friends, musician friends, and I've had musician friends post things, and they actually make money from, you know, they'll do a CD, and that's how they sell their CDs. I have some statistics. 64% of teenagers listen to music on YouTube, making it the hit maker for songs rather than radio or CDs. For example, Justin Bieber, love him or hate him, he was discovered on YouTube when he was 12 years old, and then again when he was 18 years old. And Bieber's net worth is estimated at $80 million. And the National Endowment for the Arts found that people who interact with the arts online through social media and other means are almost 3 times more likely to attend a live event. Awesome. And, you know, it could be I have amazing friends. I have really positive, spiritual, forward-moving friends. And really and truly, they post the most amazing things. And if I'm not feeling like my usual self, I can go on Facebook and find an amazing quote that one of my friends posted that day, or an amazing picture. I have a friend that lives in Hawaii. She used to live in Colorado. Now she lives in Hawaii. She must be doing something right. And she has this amazing garden. And she posted a picture of this ginger plant. I forgot what kind it was. I swear to God, it almost, it enthralled me for at least 30 seconds where I'm like, I enlarged it, I'm looking at it. I mean, it was just so, so beautiful. You know, so I use it as a pick me up, and sometimes I don't post anything personal at all, really. You know, I mean, I never do. You know, like, oh yeah, I'm feeling sad, or you know, or anything like that. And I use it more as a positive venue, and
yep.
And that's how, like I said, I've gotten, you know, people that support the radio shows that I'm doing. In fact, if you are listening to our radio show and want to comment on this, the number is 646-727-2914. You know, we could listen to each other all day because we're really cool like that. But we'd love for you to call and weigh in. Tell us what you think. Has it been positive for you? Has it been negative for you? I did see something. It was funny because I saw this really cool rap, and it was actually saying that maybe you should get off Facebook and go hug a tree or take a walk or talk to someone. And I do agree with that. I agree that, you know, what worries me is young kids. You know, you look at them and they're staring at their phone, and do they see the flower in their neighbor's yard? I hope they do. I feel that it is a little bit more entrancing for the young people. And, you know, and that worries me.
Huh. Yeah, mm-hmm. I can see that. Well, not so much Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or anything with my grandkids. It's video games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The 14 and the 15-year-old are downstairs right now playing video games. They're on the Xbox, mm-hmm. So yeah. But they are interacting because they're on Xbox Live.
Yeah, my son did that for a while, and you know, now he never plays it. But he did it for a while, and I was a little bit worried. I'd limit his time, but you know, and I don't worry about him because he loves speaking. He loves, you know, where does he get that from? But he loves talking to people. And he'll talk to strangers. He talks to everybody. So I don't. And he stopped playing the video games. So he's in.
Oh.
He goes in his room and plays guitar, and he's teaching himself guitar. And you know, he's. I guess I worried for not.
Yeah.
Well, like in the chat room, Melody says that the effect is. She thinks the effect is mixed. A lot of people don't even remember what it's like to interact with people. But then she also says that overall she's gotten positive effects from Facebook. And because she is more, isolated with
mm-hmm.
where she lives. So it helps her to stay in touch. And I think that that's true for a lot of people. I'm rather isolated. And I'm way back away from where my family. I used to be more centralized, and I moved out here to the sort of pseudo country. But it's not in town. It's outside of town, and even further away from my family. But quite honestly, I don't get on Facebook as much because I've got all these other things going on. I get into trouble basically, and so you know, Facebook.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Keep me out of trouble. I just don't get there as much. But I do know that it helps me stay connected with some friends that are mm-hmm. live in regions beyond, long beyond where I live. And it's not really easy to make the phone calls because they can be more expensive. And
mm-hmm.
so, yeah, it's actually one of the reasons I signed back up for Facebook, because I went off of it. It was too overwhelming, and I signed back up just to connect with a specific person who thought it would be easier for us to stay in touch. But whereas I'm a little bit different than other people, I at first refused to have more than 10 friends, And then somehow I got 12 or 13, and then I thought, oh, I got to get rid of somebody. There's too many. And it has more to do with my thought process about friendship. I think about people way more, and I just choose not to be into the superficial of it. I do have a couple of friends that don't really interact with my life that much every once in a while, and that's it. I just commented to somebody, I said, I think I have 34 friends. How did I get 34? What happened? But actually, it's friends that are friends of closer friends. So they're like, you know, the wife or the husband of somebody I know, and that's okay. That's okay.
Or the best friend of somebody you know.
Yeah.
Excuse me?
Or the best friend of somebody you know.
Oh, yeah, right. Maybe. Yeah.
Exactly. Well, yeah, and you can, well, if your friend has a friend, and this is what I think happens, but I'm not 100% positive, but if your friend comments on their friend's thing, then you can see it. So sometimes you can see, like, the quality of someone by their posts that, you know, that might fit, not meaning, you know, that was a bad word, but meaning that this person really fits who I am. I have a good friend, and we saw each other at parties, and I started talking to her, and then I started seeing her posts because she's friends with some of my friends, and she's so positive, and she's so amazing and spiritual and conscious and socially aware that, like, yeah, we're friends. And, in fact, the other night there was a party of a friend, and she said, I heard you were going to be here, so that's why I came. I'm like, I heard you were going to be here. I'm so glad. Yeah. So it's just, I've made some friends made two friends I'm talking with through social media.
Mhm. Oh, really?
Yeah.
That would be
really.
Is that social media?
That's how we met.
Well,
that's how we met.
Is that a discussion? What is that? A discussion board? Is that social media? I don't know. I don't really have that clearly defined in my head.
Well, it started out with the Rosie site, so that was when it was large. But
that was beyond me. I wasn't ever involved with that.
Yeah,
but are those sites social media, or are they sort of?
No, they're not
like
social media.
Groups or something? Is that really how we define social media?
I think it started as a social media site.
Okay.
It wasn't like totally out there like a Facebook, but I think when Rosie had it, I'm sure that many people went to it because of
Rosie. There was a lot of people. Yeah, there was a lot of people on there because of Rosie, and then it kind of dwindled down to what CC became.
Right.
And then that was more of a closed group.
Yeah.
It was more. But that we definitely, all three of us, met on the web.
Cooper's Corner.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, here's another thing that I really like social media for is because it can help disarm social stigma. We talked about some stigmas, some mental health stigmas last week, and I think it is real. I read some amazing stuff, and you're just like, oh, yes, that's true. And some people might not, you know, they might not be exposed. They might live in a small town or have just a small community, and they're not exposed to people that are different than them. And I believe it really can, it can go the opposite way, but I think it can really help disarm social stigmas. There's a group called the Sticks and Stones Campaign that uses Twitter to reduce stigmas surrounding mental health and learning disabilities. Thank gosh, we really need to do that. Any stigma. The Stigma Project uses Facebook to lower the HIV infection rate and neutralize stigma through education via social media and advertising. And gay people speak openly on social networking sites like Facebook, site Wipe Out Homophobia. It can also help to achieve a greater social acceptance of homosexuality. I definitely have seen it evolve to that. And there's a blog called Let's Pretend This Never Happened, and it is made public this woman's struggles with OCD, depression, and anxiety disorders. And, you know, and that when we are more aware that people, you know, a lot of stuff had been kept in the closet. You know, maybe you'd read a magazine article about someone with OCD or, you know, any of the myriad of disorders. And now, you know, there's a lot more support because people understand them. We have a friend that has a child with autism, and I think that there's a lot on Facebook, I know, about autism and how, you know, these people are, you know, amazing, and let's not, you know, let's not ostracize them, or let's not judge them, or even judge the family members. You know, I think it's really, I think it's helped, definitely.
So definitely, you know, helping to DC this, you know, negative reaction to anything different than who we tend to be or what we're used to. And that's a great thing. So, yeah, it's all great if, you know, your perspective, you know, moves along those lines.
Yeah. And then there's also crowdsourcing or crowdfunding on social media. I have seen people that have, well, I have a friend who has a movie theater. It's an old movie theater. It's the Catlow Movie Theater in outside of Chicago. I forget which suburb he's in. But they contact, you know, the people where he gets his films said, we're moving to digital. And what that means is that you have to buy a digital projector. Well, it was $100,000, and him and his wife worked their butts off. They do it. They have a restaurant that's connected to the theater, but they both work really, really hard. They did not have any $100,000 in the bank, probably not even $10,000. But anyway, he went on Facebook and talked about it, and actually within 4 days, they raised the money to buy the digital projector.
Wow.
And now he's helping other small movie theaters because there is a group of people that really want to see old movie theaters saved and kept around. And I just, that was amazing. And then I read about a mother who was able to find a kidney donor for her child by posting a video of her child on the face on Facebook.
Aww.
I know. You know, it can be absolutely positive. It can be negative. I know that. It can, you know, for the good, it can be the bad. You know, the yin and the yang is always kind of at work. But I really think that, you know, I'm positive, so that's what I see. And that's what I use it for. If you're not, if, like, Brenda said, if you're using it so much that you're avoiding real social interactions or you can't, you know, you cannot put your phone down for 2 minutes or your iPad, whatever you've got, then, you know, then you really need to look at that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Excuse me, lady. Ladies, I have to check my Facebook account.
Do it. I'm doing it right now.
Well, you know, I was just looking at this one site where this person is talking about how it can improve your life, and there is a person that wrote in said that they love Facebook, and they always wonder what things would have been like if they, for them in high school, if there had been Facebook way back then, and they probably would have been, you know, they would, things would have been different for them. I think about high school and some of the students that I attended with that just seemed to be so quote-unquote out of place with the stoners or the cheerleading, you know, ball player mega personalities. And I was just, I knew everybody. I was completely outside the core, and yet everybody involved me in the core, even though I didn't play sports and I wasn't a cheerleader or anything like that. I was just me. But most students don't have that sort of inner strength to traverse so easily in and out of different groups. But I can see how Facebook could have actually helped somebody who maybe they wouldn't have found somebody in their own high school, but they may have connected to somebody across the nation or possibly in another country. I had pen pals in Helsinki, Finland, and in Japan, and in Germany, and for many years we stayed connected. I would love to get back in touch with them now. It's just as you get older, life takes over. So to me, that wasn't as easy, and it took much longer to establish my pen pal friends who became friends than Facebook does. So, yes, there are many advantages, folks. And try to look at it from a positive point of view and try, if you can, not to look at it as in any way, shape, or form where it's supposed to decide whether your day is good or bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hopefully you have something else going on to make that determination.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but you might find... You might find a couple of friends like we have, and we have a good core from where we initially met, you know, with Marlene and the Monas and the Melodies.
Yeah.
And, well, a lot of, there's a few other AJs, and there are people that we just, you know, they had those personalities that were sustaining beyond just a fly-by-night chat room or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, just be very careful and circumspect.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't believe, and I'm in studying psychology, and I don't believe for one second that you can't have a real, true friend or loving relationship. You cannot create something like that from someone you meet online. I believe that's possible, provided that
the three of us are
you're honest and
that's
you.
Possible.
Yeah, if you, as long as you're honest and you are who you are.
Yeah. No false faces, the truth always. And yeah, you can do it. You can make long lasting relationships and long lasting friends.
Although mine has
been
fun for me. It just can get me into trouble.
No, the three of us have been friends for a long time.
Yeah,
which makes it harder to lie to them. Yeah.
And mostly they enrich my life, folks.
I wouldn't be
on the radio without these ladies. And that has been a very empowering part of my life, is being on the radio.
Oh, girl, bring it home. Bring it on home.
Yeah, bring it on home. Oh, yeah. So, and our goal is to empower everybody. And,
right.
You know, anybody that's listening, we want to empower you. So if it's not empowering you, then get off it or delete some people or whatever you need to do, you know, because it can be very empowering. And that's what I use it for. My husband, he in the beginning was really, he's like, well, how do you know those people are who they say they are? And I'm pretty trusting, but I got a good feel for what was going on. And he was amazed. He was amazed when I traveled up to Canada to visit Nina and had the time of my life. I've done it twice,
didn't
and
we?
I'm planning on a third time.
Yeah, we sure did have. Even the very first time, everything just was fantastic, and we'd only met online, and all of a sudden I'm having, how many was there? I think there were six of us. Wasn't there, Lydia, the first time?
Yes, uh-huh, yeah.
And boy, did we have a good time.
Oh, my definitely. So, yeah, it's, you know, that's the rule that I have. I have I have blocked a couple friends, and that was because I didn't feel empowered. I felt irritated either by their posts or whatever, their attitude. You know, I felt irritated, and for me, life is too short for that nonsense. And so
exactly.
I just blocked them. And, I can love them from a distance, and I don't have to, but I don't have to read their stuff. So, you know, that's what I've chosen to do.
Yeah, a negative posting, and it just, it annoys me too, and I, because of that reason, I have unfriended a lot of, you know, quite a few people, because I just don't have time for a lot of negative. There's enough in our ordinary lives that keep, you know, flashing in front of our faces without having to read it on social media.
Right.
I go there to be uplifted, to maybe uplift somebody else, to read
exactly.
only the positive. I don't need to read more negative or see more negative in my life. So that's just kind of a warning if out there.
Yeah.
I am being positive, people.
Now, except, although, you know, when my mom passed and I posted that, people reached out. I mean, I had some amazing experiences. One friend.
Lydia, that's not negative.
I know. Well, it wasn't. It's part of life, and it was a sad thing, but that's what happened. And so it was so cute because one of my friends from Chicago that we knew each other since kindergarten, and he used to deliver papers to my house. So he wrote this whole story about how my mom always tipped him. And he always remembered that, you know, because, you know, my husband also was a paper boy, and he said, you know, people wouldn't answer the door to pay their bill, and, you know, they just throw the money at you, and they didn't tip you or whatever. You know, it was a demeaning thing in a way to have to ask for the money and for, you know, I mean, I think it taught you a lot. But anyway, Mike Lyman, he was the one who wrote just that sweet thing, and it touched my heart. It was really, really amazing. And
I have a secret to share.
You do?
I have a secret to share. Yeah. My very first boyfriend was our paper boy.
Well, Mike Lyman, we were more friends, but in a way, you know, I had a little crush on him, and he had a little crush on me, but we were more friends. We were never boyfriends, girlfriends. Yeah. No. Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah. Now, I did read something kind of funny to end on a silly note, and that is that, where was it? It was, oh, this is so funny, and I can't believe it, but it said, instead of talking with family and friends, 10% of people younger than 25 years old respond to social media and text messages during sex.
Oh, my gosh.
I got to tell you,
I can see a woman that, you know, she's got her legs in the air, and she's, like, responding to her friend Mary and her bad hair day. You know, I'm like, okay, must not be good sex, but whatever. Anyway,
My comment is, if you got to go there, then you're not doing it right. Sorry. Like, you don't even know what to say. That says right there that you never even learned what good sex was. You have no clue.
If you're in the, and
I'm not trying to go to that lesson, but if you're in the throes of really good sex, which involves tasting, touching, and feeling, and that means your entire mind and body, and you're texting, if you're texting or you're using your remote control or you're eating out of your, you know, potato chip bag, then...
You're
already
making crumbs
gone.
In the bed.
I knew I shouldn't bring that up, but I did it anyway.
Being present, folks. But I thought that was that. Thank you for sharing that, Lydia. I mean that. Yeah. But part of the thing that we're talking about. You know, are you empowering your life? Are you empowering your relationships? Okay. Let me say this really quickly to pop in on all the wonderful things that were said here. When it comes to friendships on social media, this is really, it can be difficult when you do encounter somebody who says or acts in a way that shocks you or offends you or possibly scares you. It's really important for you to honor yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And even though you may think that they seemed really great or everything was going well, standing up for yourself is really important. Because if you don't do it, then the caliber of relationship you're going to have with that person is never going to have a strong foundation.
Mm-hmm.
I've encountered even recently where there's a friend that I've had for a couple of years, and I have had a lot of hopes for that, and I'm still on the fence on whether that's going to go somewhere. But they sort of did something, and they have sort of some emotional issues with that towards me, and it's hard. But I did have to stand up for myself, and what bothers me is because what bothers me the most is that friendship may go away, and that's just life. You know, because
mm-hmm.
there are a lot of people who have a lot of issues, and we mustn't take on other people's luggage. Remember, folks, we're not little porters. We're people. And we have to sling our luggage. They got to sling their luggage. And sometimes we get together and we just put our luggage aside and we enjoy one another. And that's really what it's all about.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, I agree, definitely. You know, if it's not empowering you, you got to think twice about it. What will you do? And I've had to do it myself, and it's hard, but it's, you know, I did it before social media. You know,
yeah.
I had to let some friends go. And was it hard? Oh, yes, it was very
yeah.
hard. I didn't do it thoughtlessly or carelessly. I did it with lots of thought. And so I know that it can be really hard, but if it doesn't feel good, if it doesn't feel right for you, then you can do that. You can, you know, just block them, whatever you're going to do. You know, you can try talking with them, but some people don't even waste your breath. It's my
yeah.
opinion.
And on
my
that note.
Opinion. And on my humble opinion.
Yeah. It's a good one.
And on that note, let's bring up the lineup for this week.
Cool.
Tomorrow, 6 p.m. Pacific time, it is BYO Brilliance. And Brenda, you are going to be discussing colors, am I right?
Yeah.
Let's get jiggy with the color, folks. If you're colorblind, you might have some issues with that, but I know that generally you're able to recognize shades. And then those can actually infuse in your life as well. So, color. For most people who are able to perceive colors, they actually affect us psychologically. And so it's something to think about.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And that brings us to Wednesday at 7 p.m. Pacific time. It's in the studio with Lennis. She has hot topics, news of the weird, sports news, and whatever she feels like discussing for that day. So that'd be Wednesday at 7 p.m. Pacific time. Thursday is Filmcology with Brenda, and you have two films on this week, Brenda, and they are?
Well, the films are the Best Man sort of series. The Best Man, it's about a bunch of friends that get together, it's a bit of a reunion, and what takes place when one who wrote a book, you know, tell-all book and, you know, whatever. But the second movie is Best Man Holiday, which takes us like 10 years into the future. These people came back together to do another film, and we see how their lives have progressed. So, yeah, it's good to see both of them, to discuss them. And like I said before, try to look at the characters and try to figure out which archetype is a little closer to your personality. And I've challenged you all to figure out which one of those characters is like me. So it'd be very interesting if any of my friends actually see the movie and kind of have an idea of which one they think I am. So we will talk about the psychology of those personalities. It'll be pretty interesting.
That's
a good romantic comedy, folks. Yeah.
Yeah, it should be fun. That brings us to Friday, and it's Friday Traffic Jams with Lennis, and that's at 5 p.m. Pacific time, 1 hour of music to get your weekend started. And for the rest of the month, she is going to be doing music of the 60s. So
nice.
That should be a good time. I know Lydia and I remember music from the 60s. How about you, Brenda? You were a little bitty baby, so you're probably brought
up
with that.
Yeah, but... We listened to all the 60s music long after that. I mean, I grew up with all of that. There's not probably much you guys could pull out that I wouldn't know.
Yeah,
well,
you
exactly.
Have
so
siblings, too.
Yeah.
That's why,
because
I was a baby, and my brother was in Vietnam. When I saw Good Morning Vietnam, that movie, it was just like, oh, it just took me right back to my childhood. So I can't listen to 60s music without feeling that whole thing. I mean, even it seemed like even the summers were hotter when I was back then, even the Pacific Northwest. They're just it's a phase, and I experienced it all, the flower children, everything. So,
And that brings us to 3 p.m. Yeah, 2 p.m. Pacific time. It's time to love with Lydia. And your topic this week, Lydia?
It's going to be, I'm going to be on the road again, so I'm hoping something presents itself and I'll talk about it. I'm going to be in Utah, and a part of Utah I've never been, the very southwest corner of Utah, and there's some really beautiful places there, and I'm just going to basically, I'll figure out what I'm going to talk about when the day comes, but it will be on the road show.
Oh, awesome. Those
Yay.
Are always fun.
Yeah,
and
they
fun
are
for
always.
You and fun for the rest of us to listen to.
Yeah.
And that brings us to Sunday. It's Psychic Readings with Lennis at 3 p.m. Pacific time. Lennis still has that special on. Every ninth caller gets a free one-hour reading with Lennis. So call in early. We've had to turn people away because we've had so many callers. So call in early so that you'll get that question with Lennis. And just to remind everyone, one question only. And I'm going to either have to put a time limit on how long Brenda and Lennis answer you, or I'm going to have to cut in because, we need to get through to a couple more callers.
Nina has the hammer, and she says it's hammer time.
to be fair to her, even though I was getting ready to say, ew, power tripper, but to be fair to Nina, she's doing that because I know she wants to allow other people, everyone, to get their time in. So,
yeah, I want to be able to help everyone. I want Lennis to be able to help everyone. So, I know you so want to talk when you get on there, and we are all really good talkers, and if we had more time, we could do that, but we really have to cut it down just a little bit. I'm sorry, but that's just the way it is, and I'm the manager, and I guess I have to be the heavy every once in a while.
Yep.
And that brings us back to next Monday, and we will be discussing next Monday educational empowerment. Do we ever stop learning?
Hell
so
no.
No, we sure don't. But that will be our show next week.
Please.
And I would like to thank everybody that's listening live and those in the archives. Without you, we wouldn't have a show. I'd like to thank my two co-hosts, Lydia and Brenda. Mm-hmm. Without you two, we wouldn't be L&B. Lydia, you got any last words before I do meditation?
We have a show even if people don't listen, because we're going to be here whether you listen or not, but listen.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. Brenda said it for me. You can start the meditation.
Brenda, you got anything else you would like to say? No? Okay, we're going
I
to meditation.
I said I'm sorry, and I will try to be better in the future.
Oh, no, you have to just be you. Please don't change.
Yes, really.
All right, turn your lights down.
Yes.
Focus, and we're going to meditation.
And this isn't about the bump and grind thing. This is just going.
Know that you are relaxed. my voice, and the nature sounds continue to take you deeper. You are on a brilliant and loving journey. Speaking the words, I am that, that I am. You are empowered to create the life of your highest good and joy. As you sleep each night, you see your dreams and aspirations. They safely meet you with joy and love. You happily accept and embrace them. Accept and see yourself healthy and healed, reflecting your chosen physical form. Accept and see yourself in your chosen financial position. See yourself accepting the goals you choose to manifest in your life. Your goals, dreams, and aspirations are completely in your control. Every day you awake refreshed, energetic, and you accept the power to realize love, happiness, and the goals that serve you. You are love. You are brilliant. You are healthy. You are healed. You are secure. You speak these words to yourself daily, several times a day. I am that, that I am. I am that.
Namaste.
Have a good week, folks. Thanks for listening. Good night.